brain and hunger-regulating hormones more time to register fullness. You don't need a rigorous dietary plan to accomplish this. Just focus on adding fat-rich ingredients in small ways throughout the day, while simultaneously being careful to keep your starches and sugars low. Because adding extra fats to a high-carbohydrate diet will certainly encourage weight gain. Keep it simple, keep it consistent, and soon you will forge a fast and enduring friendship with this super-powered macronutrient. How to fatify your diet. The complicated lingo around fats can get confusing. Saturated, poly, mono, and omegas. My general rule of thumb for fat, if it comes from nature, it's probably healthy. And if it's made in a factory, be it feedlot or processing plant, it's probably not. In other words, blocks of orange cheese or potato chips are not the way to go. And be cautious, even with healthy fats. High fat plus excessive carbohydrates will derail you. In other words, pick the unsweetened coconut yogurt or the grass-fed whole milk kind over the gourmet but sugary ice cream. The rigorous research trials that show the success of higher fat diets at countering obesity, diabetes, and heart disease, such as ketogenic diets, all follow high fat, low carbohydrate protocols. The subject becomes simple if you think about the following three categories that correspond with the ways we eat fat-rich foods. Integrate them into your routine from morning to night, using the general ratios described in Compose the Perfect Plate as a guide. This is about consuming small amounts. It doesn't mean that every meal should be dripping with oils or laden with strips of bacon. How to know if you're getting enough fat? Your body will give you the cues. Pay attention to your energy level, feeling of satiety, and the resolution of any symptoms of fat deficit, such as brittle hair and nails. Fat-free living has had the opposite effect on our health. Instead of making us healthier, we have obesity and diabetes epidemics. Fat-rich foods, the raw materials you use as part of your meals and snacks. Be careful about your sources. The fattier the food, the more important that it comes from a quality source, as nutrient value and toxins accumulate in fat. Animal foods. Organic chicken with skin, dark meat, grass-fed and finished red meat. Some cuts are lean, others are fattier. Ask your butcher. Pastured pork, including pork belly and bacon lamb. Eggs, ideally pasture-raised, and organic fatty cold-water fish. Sardines, mackerel, herring, wild salmon. Dairy that works for you. Goat and sheep cheese. Cow cheese if tolerated. Grass-fed butter. Yogurt, kefir. Bone broths. Plant foods. Avocado, coconut, oil, butter, milk, cream. Nuts and nut butters, in moderation, preferably raw, unroasted. Seeds, pumpkin, chia, sesame, flax, hemp. Chocolate, olives and olive oil. Pouring and spreading fats. The things you drizzle, spread or spoon over your food, or into your smoothie or coffee, straight from the bottle. Olive oil, flax oil, hemp oil, nut oils. Nut butters, MCT oil, liquid coconut, cacao butter, dairy butter, and ghee. Cooking fats. What you use to make raw food cooked. Animal fats like ghee and butter, duck fat, pork fat, chicken fat, tallow, to sear your protein. Plant oils like coconut oil, sustainably sourced palm oil, avocado oil, and quality olive oils. A day with more fat. Ideas for morning to night. Nourishing smoothie with added nut butter, MCT oil, or chunks of frozen avocado. Fat enhanced, aka bulletproof coffee, with added MCT oil, grass-fed butter, or grass-fed cream. Eggs cooked in ghee or butter. Sardines with avocado. slow-cooked pork or lamb stew, on vegetables or salad. EVOO drizzled over vegetables and proteins. Bone broth, for sustenance throughout the day. Tahini sauce, drizzled over a vegetable and rice bowl. Almond butter dressing, with zucchini noodles. Brussels sprouts with bacon. Dark chocolate. Coconut milk curry. Coconut yogurt chia pudding. Or dairy yogurt if tolerated. A spoonful of ghee in your evening tea. 9 more reasons to embrace natural fats. They help your body absorb critical vitamins, the fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K. They strengthen your immune system. They support proper integrity of your cell membranes. They feed the unique needs of your brain. They lubricate your digestive system. They protect your vital organs. They help reduce inflammation. They feed your mitochondria, the cellular powerhouses that determine how energized you feel and how you age. They are essential for the health of your heart, lungs, liver, and bones, and help healthy gene expression. My general rule of thumb for fat: if it comes from nature, it's probably healthy. And if it's made in a factory, be it feedlot or processing plant, it's probably not. How to go gluten-free? Of all the dietary interventions I suggest to patients who don't feel well, cutting out gluten tends to deliver some of the most rapidly detectable results. When wheat and other gluten-containing products are taken off the plate of someone who is sensitive to them, digestive issues can lessen. Energy and mental clarity return. Persistent aches, pains, and stiffness dissolve, and headaches can subside. And that's just a sampling. The bumper sticker motto in these cases? I didn't realize I was feeling so crummy until I didn't feel so crummy. In some more serious cases, this one new habit is the crucial first step to turning around a serious autoimmune condition. But how do you know if you should steer clear of this plant-based protein, which is found in wheat and other grains like rye and barley, wheat's many relatives like wheat germ, bulgur, couscous, farina, semolina, and spelt, and a smorgasbord of processed foods and drinks that smuggle this protein into their mixes without you even realizing? And if you decide to do it, how do you chart a safe and steady course through gluten-free's glittering ocean of fancy processed products and far-out promises? Welcome to Gluten-Free 2.0. It's time to learn how to go against the grain in a way that heals but won't hurt. Wheat's bad rap. Although wheat has been known as the staff of life for over 8,000 years, I believe that our off-balance microbiomes, with the inflamed intestines that result, might be triggering increasing intolerance. The sheer amount of wheat we consume, it comprises at least 20% of the average Westerner's daily diet, may be partly to blame. And the industrialized processes behind modern wheat, which is the largest global food crop, seem to present clear and present dangers. Today's high-speed baking technologies sidestep traditional techniques that helped break down the protein into more digestible sizes. Worse is the alarming use of the herbicide glyphosate in conventional wheat production. Lifestyle factors, especially diet, heavily influence what roughly 98% of our genes do, how they behave, and how they express themselves. When you are sensitive to gluten, the inflammation that results can manifest anywhere in the body. It can cause digestive distress, headaches, achy joints, and all kinds of neurological issues, bloating, skin imbalances, ovarian cysts, and more. It can also be the cause of the autoimmune syndrome celiac disease, which creates disturbance body-wide, as well as contribute to a host of other autoimmune syndromes. The good news is that removing gluten-containing foods and then improving microbiome health typically resolves many of the chronic inflammatory symptoms. It can even restore a level of functioning that allows some sensitive folk to enjoy occasional portions of well-prepared gluten foods. If you have celiac disease, in which the delicate microvilli in your intestines get damaged, This will not be the case, but removing gluten religiously will allow the villi to heal. There's another reason to consider reducing your gluten dependence. Bread, in particular, is a notorious blood sugar destabilizer. Cutting it out can help you lose weight. Stop. Drop that gluten-free muffin. The first wave of gluten-free eating launched an entire industry of processed and packaged foods, many of which are riddled with high carbohydrate starches and industrial seed oils, not to mention sugar, preservatives, and additives. Ignore most of them. They invite high blood sugar, inflammation, and weight gain. To make this transition healthfully, follow the tips in this book. Eat real food. Eschew packaged foods. Let vegetables crowd out the pasta or bread, and practice composing the perfect plate. Gluten-free products can help in a pinch, and there are some great ones out there that are devoid of seed oils and additives. But don't make them a crutch. Then this dietary change can kickstart a long-lasting and sustainable way of eating. Going gluten-free version 2.0. Do you do better with cold turkey quitting or slowly tapering off? To go gluten-free, pick the path that suits you. Follow the guidelines and use the food sensitivities questionnaire from howtobewell.com to help you chart any changes in your symptoms. Whichever pathway you choose, stay on it for at least 2 weeks. Take note of any shifts in how you feel and look. If you have been suffering from symptoms for some time, the real work of healing an inflamed gut wall and possibly assisting in the resolution of any autoimmune conditions is a several months long process. Keep on it. Pathway 1. Start with breakfast. An incremental phasing out that lets you gain your footing one step at a time. If you are not in a crisis of uncomfortable symptoms, or if you are overwhelmed by huge changes, or by the idea of throwing out food from your pantry, this method can work well. Typically, even only changing breakfast helps you regain energy and feel better, and it delivers a surge of enthusiasm to take the next step. As you tackle each meal, get rid of the gluten-containing products in your kitchen that supply it. How to do it? Start by replacing any gluten foods at your morning meal. Remember, savory leftovers can be a great breakfast. Note, if you're eating oatmeal, make sure it is gluten-free. Oats are technically not a gluten grain, but are often cross-contaminated due to the shared machinery used in harvesting and milling. Commit to this one act for 1 week. Notice any changes in how you are feeling. The following week, replace the gluten foods at lunch. Commit to this for 1 week, and keep noticing how you feel. Now that you have breakfast and lunch handled, on week 3, change dinner. Look carefully at your snack choices, too. Make sure to think in advance about eating out, and have a strategy for where you will eat and what you will order. Pathway 2. The clean sweep. The cold turkey method. This method works well if you are highly motivated, either because you are sick of suffering, or you do better when you are accountable to stricter goals. How to do it? Before you start, take a few days to plan how you will eat, ideally writing out a strategy and making several lists. Review the entire How to Eat section of this book. Consider, what will I eat for 3 meals a day, plus snacks? What do I need to throw out of my kitchen and workplace? What will I replace this with? What will I do when I eat out? What will I do if I slip? The clean sweep can be part of a broader elimination diet, or better yet, part of a full gut repair program, if you are ready to go the whole hog of rebooting your digestion, calming inflammation, and restoring the microbiome. Of all the interventions I suggest to patients who don't feel well, cutting out gluten tends to deliver some of the most rapidly detectable results. Succeeding in the shift. Unmask and avoid hidden sources of gluten, such as the thickeners and fillers in processed foods, sauces, and some sausages and desserts. A quick internet search will deliver you comprehensive lists. Substitute wisely Use the content in this ring to help you come up with wheat-free meals and snacks, and consult the plethora of websites devoted to gluten-free cooking for even more ideas. When in doubt, just eat more vegetables. Be okay with not feeling okay. Gluten has an opioid effect. When you consume it, your body actually makes a hormone, a gluten endorphin. That raises your mood. No wonder it's so addictive. Cutting it out can feel like drug withdrawal at first. If cravings for your former gluten foods kick in, eat some quality protein and good fats to satiate yourself wisely. If you fall off the wagon, don't stress. Notice if any symptoms arise immediately after you eat gluten foods or the next morning. These might include fatigue, foggy head, aches, pains, digestive issues, and constipation. Let them be your signposts to get you back on track. Seize this exciting opportunity to make new foods. Paleo bread sounds intimidating until you see how short the ingredient list is. There have never been more resources, blogs, and good ingredients available to those who want to cook gluten-free. Don't try to wing it without healthy food and snacks on hand. You will get hungry and desperate. After 2 weeks, assess the impact of this shift by reviewing the food sensitivities questionnaire again. How do you feel without gluten-containing foods, compared to before you cut them from your diet? What happens now when you eat a piece of bread or some pasta? You might find that the results are intolerable. You might find they are moderate, making it okay to occasionally include these foods in your diet as a conscious choice. Or you might find that eating that bread or pasta doesn't seem to affect you at all. Whatever the result, you have kick-started a gluten-aware way of eating, something I believe to be an invaluable key to being well in a world where our food sources and our body's responses to them are undeniably changing. Lectins, looking beyond gluten. If removing gluten from your diet does not resolve symptoms caused by inflammation and leaky gut, it might be wise to learn about lectins, the larger family of plant proteins of which gluten is a member. Lectins are proteins found in many plants, especially beans and legumes, including peanuts, as well as in grains and the seeds and the peels of nightshades. These proteins evolved as part of the plant's survival strategy, deliberately causing discomfort or distress in predators' bodies so that they would not be eaten and could then reproduce. Some people are sensitive to these proteins and experience instant digestive distress or inflammation. Others coexist with them tolerably, especially when foods containing lectins are properly cooked, because lectin content is dramatically reduced by traditional cooking methods such as soaking, sprouting, fermenting, and even refining beans, legumes, and grains. These traditional methods, as well as the uncompromised quality of pre-industrial ingredients and the abundance of helpful pre- and probiotic foods in the diet, help make grains and beans successful staples of many global cultures. If you are sensitive to lectins, these preparation methods may be your key to happily enjoying the plant foods that contain them, and they are easy to learn. For example, pressure cooking is a great way to reduce lectin content, particularly in beans or legumes. So consider learning how to use this high-speed and very helpful kitchen technique. If you are trying to resolve stubborn food sensitivities, you may want to cut out lectin-containing foods from your diet and then reintroduce them one by one to see which you are sensitive to. Dairy, factory-farmed meats and eggs even contain lectins, which may be why a true elimination diet that cuts these out resolves issues for some sensitive people. For a deep dive into the subject of lectins, read The Plant Paradox by Stephen R. Gundry, M.D. After 3 months. If your gut was inflamed by gluten, you may find this time off has allowed some healing to occur. You may be able to tolerate small amounts of authentic sourdough bread, which is fermented and therefore easier to digest. Sprouted wheat products may also be easier to digest, though I would always suggest you eat some spinach or chard in place of any kind of bread or baked goods, and zucchini or summer squash ribbons in place of pasta. But no matter what, try to ensure that any wheat or grain you buy is organic, especially if you are feeding it to your kids. To get the full picture on gluten, check out the movie What's with Wheat and the books Grain Brain by David Perlmutter, M.D. and Wheat Belly by William Davis, M.D. Resist the irresistible. Processed foods. You've heard it 100 times. Highly processed junk foods, fast foods, and sodas will hurt you badly. Food is information that tells your entire biology what to do and when to do it. But junk food is like malware on your computer, scrambled information that leads to a major hardware crash. Food made by an industrial man-made manufacturing system is many steps away from what nature intended, and the sneaky cocktail of seed oils, hidden sugars, GMOs, chemical colorants, texturizers, and preservatives used to make processed and junk food so palatable and so cheap disrupt all of the 4 directions. They do this by triggering inflammation that leads to weight gain, brain fog, and system-wide pain, often doing damage silently and unnoticed for years, disrupting the balance of hormones, such as through estrogenic chemicals, degrading your microbiome, and possibly contributing to food allergies. And because they are so highly engineered to be addictive, disrupting your natural rhythms of eating, i.e. regularly consuming simple whole foods and finding them fully satiating. Breaking free of the grip of processed food is a must if you want to claim and own your health. If boxed, packaged, and logo-covered food is a big part of your diet, it's going to take some revolutionary tactics to fuel a successful resistance, but it's worth it. Weight loss, digestive ease, mental clarity, better skin, better sleep, and more stable moods are the prize that you win. Here are my best tactics for breaking free. 1. Get angry. You've been hijacked. Convenience foods are convenient only for the companies that profit off them. Junk food and fast food have been engineered by food scientists to be hyper-palatable, which means they will put anything in them to make you crave their taste and texture. Typically, that includes high doses of sugar, bad oils, MSG, GMO soy, and chemical flavorings. The artificial flavor listed can contain countless unnamed chemicals. A hyper-palatable food is designed to derail your satiety's signaling. It will induce cravings to overeat, trigger an unnatural food high via a dopamine reaction in your body, and override your innate ability to stop eating. Hence the infamous marketing lines like, once you pop, you just can't stop. This unregulated food engineering adds up to one big science experiment that doesn't work in your favor, but it sure makes money for shareholders. Remember this. Many processed foods, most fast food, and almost every soda in the world have been designed and built with addiction in mind. This includes the fare at many fast casual restaurants that tempt you with handcrafted onion rings or authentic cheesy, floury, meaty burritos. A recent study found 83% of Americans eat out because of cravings. To get the lowdown on shady big food practices, check out the book Salt, Sugar, Fat, How the Food Giants Hooked Us by Michael Moss. 2. Learn to speed read. If your food's ingredients list exceeds 3 to 5 ingredients, be on alert. If you can't pronounce or easily identify the ingredients, no matter how few or many there are, that's red flag number 1. Don't let the front of the bag seduce you. Even organic stone-ground corn chips are likely made with inflammatory seed oils, and many processed foods use refined palm oil or vegetable oils. They're highly inflammatory too. Turn the product over and take a closer look. Avoid low-fat and sugar-free products. To compensate for what's missing, nefarious ingredients like fake sweeteners are added, which can induce even more cravings. If sugars are over 4 grams per serving, evaluate carefully. And if you see high fructose corn syrup listed, stop immediately. Game over. To cut to the chase, try scanning barcodes with an app like Food Facts, which gives a snapshot of all the hidden nasties and allergens lurking in an item. Or read the guide Chemical Cuisine from the Center for Science in the Public Interest, cspinet.org, which decodes the additives listed. Additionally, my health coaches swear by the Healthy Living app from the Environmental Working Group, which scores a huge database of foods. 3. Structure your eating. Getting in a rhythm of regularly timed meals provides a solid foundation, so you are less vulnerable to junk food urges. Have reliable, healthy snacks on hand. Drink plenty of water and keep pre-prepared meal components in the fridge. Be sure to get enough well-sourced protein, healthy fat, and fiber from vegetables in your diet. These are the bedrock actions supporting toxin-free eating. 4. Know your food triggers. Practice inserting a pause when the urge for a junk food fix arises. Take a breath. Go for a walk. Notice what is happening in your body and mind when the desire hits. Typically, the trigger is boredom, wanting a change of activity, fatigue, needing energy, or sorrow, loneliness, wanting comfort. Increasing your awareness of why you want what you want gives you the tools to resist the craving and make an empowered, better choice. There are numerous books and online resources related to mindful and intuitive eating to help you on this path. Support is only a click away. Breaking free of the grip of processed food is a must if you want to claim and own your health. Know your sources. Though Americans have long been obsessed with quantity of food as it relates to health and weight, it's the quality of the food that matters most. Toxin-free foods that are nutritious, the way nature intended, minimally processed, give your body the right signals to stay in balance. But with our deeply flawed food system, it takes commitment to source and buy quality food. Depending on where you live, it can feel like a battle. It's crazy that it should be that way, but there's the rub. We have an industrial food supply that has favored profit over health for so long that it's made disease-causing foods mainstream and health-giving foods fringe. Luckily, we're riding a big wave of change. Millions of people are demanding a shift from industrial food to integrity food, nutrition that is affordable, accessible, and bursting with fresh and healthful properties. Thanks to consumer demand, there are more farmers' markets. Manufacturers are changing harmful processes, and we are slowly cleaning up the mess. But the momentum will only continue to build if we all engage. Here are 5 ways to be part of the shift and see your and your family's health skyrocket as a result. 1. Keep it simple. Stick mainly to unfussy meals made of whole foods. Find what you like and use it often. If you commit to cooking and dial back on eating out, you'll have some extra cash to spend on quality where it costs more, such as healthfully raised meat, dairy, eggs and fish. 2. Know the source of your food. The good food providers want you to be engaged. They are transparent about their processes and willing to share. Meet the farmers at your local farmer's market. Ask questions. Support their hard work. Consider joining a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture Project, to secure a season of fresh food. See localharvest.com. Same goes for brands you buy. Read their websites, share your concerns, leave your comments on the sites you buy from. Brands with integrity, listen. 3. Be a marketing skeptic. The food business is notoriously slippery, and marketing lingo is artfully selected not only to get you to buy on impulse without thinking, but also to give a product a health halo, an identity that projects an aura of wellness without the reality. Be wary of hyped-up phrases that don't tell you anything. The word natural is unregulated, except for meat and poultry, where it means only that no additives or processing occurred. Natural can even be splashed on a product that is made with genetically engineered ingredients. Contains whole grains tells you nothing useful for your health, and farm fresh is equally empty. Factory farms are farms too, after all. Read the fine print and do your research on the products you use frequently. 4. Vote with your dollar. Organic is no longer the alternative option as the market for it expands at a rapid pace. Make your purchases chemical-free as much as you can. Get vocal and buy local. It's still an uphill battle for people who are making and growing food the right way. We continue to subsidize the monocrops and factory-farmed animal foods that inflame us and make us fat, while small local producers supplying organic whole foods get no help. The more you support those devoted to quality products, buy from alternative retailers like ThriveMarket.com, which is 100% GMO-free, or take a personal step like growing your own produce in a community garden or sprouting on your kitchen counter, the more you help build an alternative food system. Another good reason to spring for organic. The more you buy it, the more you help our degraded soils get healthier. The soil has a microbiome just like you do, a thriving world of biota that ensures its robust good health. But that's been decimated by years of chemical-based and genetically engineered agriculture, which means it can't feed plants the high levels of nutrients that it should. Buying organic helps repair this injustice, and the better the health of the soil, the better the health of the food, and that ripples out to you. 5. Stay vigilant. The playing field is constantly shifting. Big corporations are buying up the organic market and taking over small real food companies. Dilution of quality and subtle shifts, like adding cheaper but toxic ingredients, or downgrading original sources can occur. Also, regulations on dangerous chemicals are not safeguarded. The food industry generally gets to declare what is safe and what's not, operating fully on their own terms. And frighteningly, long-standing bans on some dangerous pesticides, like the carcinogen chlorpyrifos, are being overturned. The regulatory system is broken. And it is no secret that special interest money speaks louder than consumer safety. Don't fall asleep at the wheel. Fixing this broken food system requires participation and more than a little vigilance. Luckily, there are dedicated groups doing most of the hard work for you. Use their resources, support their initiatives, such as pushing for the labeling of genetically engineered foods, and become part of the solution. For more information, visit the websites of my favorite integrity leaders in the area of food quality and safety. Environmental Working Group, EWG.org. Food Democracy Now, FoodDemocracyNow.org. Organic Consumers Association, OrganicConsumers.org. The Cornucopia Institute, Cornucopia.org. Pesticide Action Network, PANA.org. Center for Food Safety, centerforfoodsafety.org. We have an industrial food supply that has favored profit over health for so long that it's made disease-causing foods mainstream and health-giving foods fringe. The emerging science of epigenetics is revealing how the environment around you and your lifestyle choices play a huge role in whether you get sick or stay healthy. Doctor up your broth. In traditional cuisines around the globe, it is a common daily practice to serve broth made from meat, fish, or vegetables. I propose we do the same. In my practice, I frequently prescribe broth as part of a protocol for healing the gut, and as a fortifying, health-promoting tonic that fits into a time-pressed life. Have you noticed that humble bone broth has earned superfood status today? The reasons are many. Not only is collagen, broth's easily absorbable protein structure, gently and quickly nourishing, it is healing and supportive for taxed and damaged digestive systems. Broth delivers important good fats, fat-soluble vitamins and minerals, counters inflammation and supports the joints and skin, and boosts your immune system. Hot broth in winter equals obvious preventative tool. And when you have broth in your kitchen, you have a nutrition-rich base for easy-to-make soups and stews. Two things can help you make broth drinking a daily habit. Have it on hand in your kitchen, ready to heat, check out the upcoming recipe, or order frozen broth from quality sources like brodobroth.myshopify.com or bonafidepro-visions.com and find the way you like it best, plain and simple, or spiked with a shake or splash of flavor. Start by sipping broth before a meaty meal. It helps the digestive system break down the proteins, or as a warming cup when you would otherwise grab a tea. It can give a satisfying lift first thing in the morning. A broth spiked with coconut oil or ghee might tempt you to skip coffee entirely, or a light end to the day, letting your digestion rest before you go to bed. Spike it. Froth it. Insider Secrets from Marco Canora. Chef Marco Canora is not only a longtime client and a friend, he's the broth guru, author of Brodo, a bone broth cookbook, founder of Brodo Broth Bar in New York, and famed for bringing irresistible and unexpected hot broth drinks into fashion. One of his specialties is Tom Yum Brodo, chicken broth plus chili oil plus coconut milk plus lime plus curry spice blend. By gracing turmeric or pouring ginger juice straight into the cup, or building depth by adding shiitake tea, water from soaking dry shiitake mushrooms, or garlic puree, Marco has helped harried New Yorkers discover that broth can be a great vehicle for flavor. Borrow his best tips and discover this for yourself. Three tools for doctoring your broth. 1. Mortar and pestle for pounding fresh herbs or roots into a paste. Place the paste on the bottom of a cup and pour the hot broth over. The heat blossoms the flavor into your broth in a magical way. 2. A battery-operated milk frother for adding quality fats to your broth, like bone marrow, tallow, grass-fed ghee or butter, MCT oil, coconut oil, chili oil, or spicy EVOO. Blend dried spices or spice blends into the fat before you incorporate it into the broth to make a filling, delicious drink. 3. A microplane to grate literally anything into your broth. It's great for fresh ginger, turmeric, and garlic. But get creative and try some spicy radish or fresh horseradish. How to make bone broth. Step 1. Gather your materials. You'll need 2 to 4 pounds of bones. They can be from poultry, fish, shellfish, beef or lamb. Look for 100% grass-fed or certified pastured meat. If using beef, try to include some meaty neck bones for maximum flavor. Another option, use the carcass of a whole roast chicken with any leftover meat on it. For this, you can use a smaller pot. You'll also need 1 gallon water, or enough to cover the bones by a few inches. 3 to 4 tablespoons apple cider vinegar, or other natural vinegar, to draw out the minerals from the bones. Large 8-to-12-quart pot or slow cooker, mesh strainer, or cheesecloth. Optional, vegetables, carrot, garlic, onion. Sea salt and herbs improve the flavor and can be added toward the end of the cooking time, if desired. Step 2. Fill your pot. Place the bones in your pot to fill at least halfway. Cover with water to within 1 inch from the top. Add vinegar and let sit for 30 to 60 minutes. Bring to a boil, then turn down to a simmer. Step 3. Cook and wait. While it simmers, you can use a spoon to skim off any scum that rises to the top. Reduce the heat, cover, and allow the broth to simmer very gently. Cook on low heat for at least 6 hours or overnight to extract the most gelatin and nutrients from the bones. A few hours before it is done, throw in the vegetables, sea salt and herbs, if you are using them. Step 4. Separate and store. Remove from the heat and let cool. Pick out the heavy bones and discard. Then strain the broth through a fine mesh sieve or cheesecloth-lined strainer, set over another pot or large bowl. When the broth is cool, ladle it into glass mason jars. The solid fat can stay on top of the broth until you are ready to use it. Discard the fat before pouring. If you intend to freeze the broth, leave 2 inches of space at the top of the containers to allow for expansion, or freeze it without lids and then put the lids on after. Another option is to use freezer bags. Step 5. Reheat and sip. When your broth is cooled, it should wiggle like jelly due to the high gelatin content, the cooked form of collagen. That's the indication of a nourishing broth. Don't worry, when you warm it up in a pan, it will liquefy. If it doesn't turn gelatinous, it's still very good for you. Just add more gristle into your mix next time. Ask your butcher or provider for feet or knuckle bones, or add the skin from your roast chicken. And if you're making fish stock, be sure to include the nourishing head. Your broth will keep for about 5 days in the fridge, or 6 months in the freezer. The flavor combos. Play with ingredients and get to know their tastes. You don't need to be exact with the amounts. Add dashes and pinches of the following ingredients. Start small and get to know the intensity of flavor you like. Seaweed, kelp, dalsal noi, plus ginger. Coconut milk plus ginger. Garlic puree plus thyme or rosemary butter. Shot of Bragg liquid aminos, plus whisk in an egg yolk. Kimchi brine. Parsley plus fresh lemon juice. Ras el Hanout spice blend, plus butter, plus pulverized cilantro, plus squeeze of lime juice. Garlic and dried or powdered mushrooms like shiitake, maitake, cordyceps or reishi. This is an immunity-boosting drink. Ginger, plus fresh or ground turmeric. This is an anti-inflammatory drink. Coconut milk, 1 part milk to 4 parts broth, plus pinch of ground turmeric, plus pinch of ground ginger, plus smashed garlic, plus pepper, plus salt. Best made using chicken broth, not beef. Cacao, plus coconut milk, plus cinnamon, plus coconut oil, plus maple syrup. Best made using chicken broth, not beef. Coconut milk plus ginger. Best made using chicken broth, not beef. Quick substitute. Adding 1 to 2 tablespoons of powdered collagen to a simple vegetable broth can give you a healing and nourishing drink if you don't have bone broth on hand. Animal, vegetable, mineral. What if I don't eat meat? Use leftover and wilting vegetables to make a mineral-rich vegetable broth. It won't have the same amino acid profile, but it's still considered a health tonic. And if you add seaweed, like kelp strips or mushrooms, especially immune-boosting shiitake, you'll boost the mineral content further and get other medicinal qualities. Some vegetarians in need of gut help decide to use chicken, fish or beef broth as part of their healing protocol. Dairy do or dairy don't. Is dairy the devil, as some dairy-free advocates might have you believe? It's more nuanced than that. Clinically, I've observed that dairy works well for many people, irritates others, and does violence to a few. So when it comes to figuring out your own relationship with the stuff, I don't think it's that, well, black or white. Don't assume you have to go cold turkey on all things milk-related, but on the quest for good health, determining what works for you, then committing to quality if you eat it, is a necessary project. What's the issue? Nixing dairy does often help clear up chronic symptoms like acne and other skin problems, digestive issues like constipation, diarrhea, acid reflux and heartburn, and excessive mucus, congestion, and sinus irritation, not to mention weight gain. Dairy is relatively high in carbohydrates. Usually, these symptoms are caused by a sensitivity to the milk protein, normally the casein, or much less frequently the whey, which triggers an inflammatory response. Digestive distress, in particular, might be caused by a deficiency in lactase, the enzymes required to break down milk sugars smoothly. Dairy intolerance often goes hand in hand with gluten intolerance, and it can be a contributor to autoimmune conditions. In those cases, nixing dairy can help tame the gut and cool inflammation. Be a dairy detective. If you experience any of these symptoms or notice anything else unusual after eating dairy, it's a clue to do some digging. Follow the food sensitivity protocol found later in this book. When the 2 weeks are over, see if you find profound relief from your symptoms. You do? Then you may want to steer clear of this food entirely and make your own nut and seed milks. However, it's not necessarily game over. If going completely dairy-free feels too restrictive, try some personal exploration. In the reintroduction phase of the protocol, test the following foods one by one. They're the ones that can often be tolerated by people with mild cow's milk sensitivities. Note if they affect you or not. 1. Yogurt and or kefir, unsweetened with live active cultures. Fermented dairy is said to decrease lactose to less than 1%, rendering it much more digestible. 2. Goat and or sheep milk products. These frequently work for people who are sensitive to cow's milk, though not always. 3. Hard cheeses, like Parmesan, Pecorino, and other aged cheeses. These can be easier for those with lactose sensitivity because they are lower in the lactase sugars. This doesn't help if you are sensitive to the proteins found in cheese. 4. Ghee, aka clarified butter. Considered a healing food in India, partly because it contains gut-soothing butyric acid, ghee is butter oil without the milk protein, and it can be used for cooking and spreading. Look for ghee that has been verified to have almost no milk proteins. 5. Raw milk products. Though there's no scientific consensus, anecdotal reports by users suggest raw dairy is often a go, when pasteurized dairy is a no. Possibly because the enzymes needed to digest the proteins and sugars are still intact. If you can get raw milk from a clean, trusted source, try it and see. Turning it into yogurt or kefir will make it even more digestible. I do recommend caution when buying raw soft cheeses. I tolerate dairy just fine. That's great. As with any animal-sourced foods, the key is to up the quality and eat less of it. And always use whole-fat dairy, as low-fat versions rob you of nutrition and tend to be higher in sugars. To truly get the most benefits without the hazards, you'll need to read up on the brands you buy. Nutritionally speaking, the order of priority goes: best, raw dairy from grass-fed cows in safe, vetted facilities. Good, lightly pasteurized, non-homogenized whole milk from grass-fed cows, followed by lightly pasteurized, homogenized whole milk from grass-fed cows. Okay, organic milk is legally required to come from cows that graze on grass or eat GMO-free grain without supplemental hormones or antibiotics. But recent investigations show some mega dairies supplying your supermarket deny cows pasture, drastically lowering the grass-fed benefits of the milk. Check the Cornucopia Institute's dairy scorecard at cornucopia.org and learn about your sources. Worst, ultra-pasteurized, conventional non-fat milk. And yes, doing dairy this way invariably costs more, so try the following. Reframe it. See dairy as a condiment, the rich accent to a meal, and an occasional luxurious treat. Stretch it. If you find rich and creamy grass-fed or raw milk, turn it into yogurt or kefir. Prioritize it. Spend your pennies on grass-fed butter or ghee, which are concentrated sources of fat-soluble vitamins and protective fatty acids. Cultured butter is even better if you can find it. Just stop it. If higher-grade dairy is out of reach, consider using an organic dairy alternative, like nut or seed milks instead. Clinically, I've observed that dairy works well for many people, irritates others, and does violence to a few. Why to say no to industrial dairy? Our modern sensitivities to dairy may be rooted less in the food itself and more in the industrialized way we now procure it. After all, for many peoples around the globe, this food is a dietary mainstay. Today, we raise cows to produce 3 to 4 times more yield than they did 100 years ago. Consider what goes into this. The herbivore, naturally grass-eating cows, get fed grains. This puts GMOs and chemicals into their bodies and increases inflammatory omega-6 fatty acids. The cows are regularly doctored with growth hormones, banned in Europe because they're considered disruptive to the endocrine system, and routinely administered antibiotics to fight the bacteria that spread in the close confines in which they live. They're also treated unethically and unnaturally. Most milk, including organic, is pasteurized to reduce the high levels of pathogens that are pervasive in confined commercial dairies and to extend shelf life. These processes, especially ultra-high temperature, UHT pasteurization, may change the components of milk, making casein less digestible, which prompts an inflammatory response. This could be why a large glass of milk may bother you more than, say, a swirl of kefir in your soup. Check the box. If you're buying boxed alternative milks, preferably look for ones that are organic, non-GMO, and unsweetened, with the shortest ingredient list possible. Avoid brands with carrageenan, a thickener made from seaweed that can trigger GI inflammation. And stay away from soy milk, a highly processed product that is known to disrupt endocrine function. If dairy works for you, preferably choose full fat. Make your own nut milk. It's delicious, it's easy as pie, and it's liberating to replace boxed nut and seed milks, or milk with a Y, if you want to be trendy with the fresh kind. You ditch unneeded sugars, preservatives, and thickening agents, and you get more nutrition from whole, barely processed ingredients. Use your straight-from-the-nut milk as a dairy substitute, or make it your base for smoothies or spiced-up hot chocolate. The easiest DIY milk to start with is almond, but once you've got that down, the options are endless. Try cashews, hemp seed, or shredded coconut milks next. Step 1. Gather. You'll need 1 cup almonds or other nut, filtered water, a blender, either a piece of cheesecloth or a nut milk bag, easily sourced online, and a large bowl for draining the milk. Optional add-ins, 1 to 2 teaspoons cinnamon, a small splash of vanilla extract, or a scattering of Brazil nuts to ensure you get the all-important mineral selenium. Many recipes call for dates, which are tasty but unnecessary, especially since 1 large date can contain 16 grams of sugar. There's no reason that milk has to be sweet. Note, if you don't have a top-of-the-line blender, dates will leave chunky bits in your drink. Step 2. Soak. Place the nuts in your blender jar and cover with filtered water. Soak overnight. This helps make the nuts more digestible. Step 3. Blend. The next morning, discard the soaking water. Rinse the soaked nuts and cover with 3 to 4 cups of filtered water. Less water will make it creamier. Add any optional ingredients and blend well. Step 4. Strain. Pour the blended mixture through the cheesecloth or nut milk bag into your bowl. Squeeze to extract every last ounce of milk. Store in a clean, lidded glass jar in the fridge and use within 3 to 4 days. Note, you can drink the milk without straining. It will just be grittier. Cashew milk does not need to be strained. After straining, you can save the ground nuts, aka pulp, if you like. It's a coarser and less refined version of store-bought nut meal, useful for various baking and cooking recipes. Freeze in a baggie, no need to dry it first, until you're ready to use it. Option. For nut-free milk, blend 1/2 cup organic hulled hemp seeds with 4 cups water. No need to pre-soak the seeds. Flax seeds can also make an affordable seed milk. Half cup seeds to approximately 6 cups water. Soak the seeds for a few hours and rinse before blending and filtering as directed earlier. Flax milk is something of an acquired taste, so a little date and a splash of pure vanilla extract are warranted here. Don't sweat about salt. Don't cheat yourself of salt. It's an essential micronutrient that plays a critical role throughout your body, helping to regulate muscle, heart, nervous system, and brain function, blood flow, and fluid balance. Though salt has gotten a bad rap in conventional medicine, strict control is only required in occasional cases. If you eat a clean, whole foods diet and season your meals to taste, your body makes all the adjustments it needs to maintain equilibrium. For optimal health, pay attention to the kind of salt you use. Unrefined salt, typically called sea salt, contains more than 80 valuable trace minerals that play essential roles in physiological functioning. Refined table salt has been bleached and baked into shimmering white crystals that lack these health aids. Pink Himalayan salt is considered the purest and best kind of unrefined salt. It comes from deep in the earth and is free of ocean contaminants, though most people tend to stick with less costly, coarse, unrefined sea salt. Unfortunately, breaking research is revealing that plastics in the ocean are leaching into sea salt. Keep an eye on that story and consider diversifying your salts. Signs that you've cut back too much on salt include low blood pressure, high stress, profuse sweating, and dehydration, as well as fatigue, cold extremities, decreased exercise performance, erectile dysfunction, sleep disturbances, and cognitive issues. Too little salt can even contribute to fat accumulation. It can dysregulate insulin. The takeaway? Don't sweat it. Eat whole foods and season them with unrefined salt to taste. Dr. James De Nicolantonio is a leading cardiovascular research scientist and author of The Salt Fix. He shares the following thoughts. 1. Consciously restricting salt intake is causing needless suffering. I've found that many medications, disease states, and lifestyle choices cause us to need more salt. And if we would only listen to our internal salt hunger, we could start thriving again. 2. Salt became demonized because of its prevalence in processed foods. But it's the mix of other ingredients, sugars, chemicals, heavy metals in those foods that are the danger. Your body drives you to consume around 8 to 10 grams of salt each day. So if processed foods are engineered to be low salt, you will likely end up eating more of them to get the salt your body craves. The unintended consequences of low salt versions of processed foods, other than an increase in foodborne illnesses, is an increase in the risk of insulin resistance, diabetes, obesity, and overall cardiometabolic disease. 3. Regular table salt is highly processed and lacks minerals. But you are better off consuming regular table salt than no salt at all. This is especially true of iodized salt, which delivers three essential minerals, iodine, sodium, and chloride. Unrefined sea salt contains more than 80 valuable trace minerals that play essential roles in physiological functioning. Make cooking idiot-proof. The more you can get in the groove with cooking at home, the more likely you'll eat well. When you cook, you're setting yourself up to win, because studies show that the more you cook from scratch, the higher your state of resilience and function. If you don't cook much, it can seem intimidating. So keep it simple. Anyone can cook, as long as they've shopped for food. It's fairly easy to get a better breakfast. A nourishing smoothie or some eggs over colourful vegetables couldn't be simpler. And lunch isn't difficult if you have good storage containers or jars and can commit to assembling components in advance. Vegetables, canned wild salmon, organic turkey or chicken, hard-boiled eggs and dressing. But dinner can overwhelm. Somehow, it feels more loaded, perhaps because of ideals from family members or foodie TV shows. Combine that with end-of-day inertia, and microwaved takeout or a cluster of snacks can become the default. To turn that around, here are my health coach's tactics for becoming captain of your cooking ship and getting homemade dinners on the table regularly.